Welcome to Fishing Without Bait, where we're going to continue our conversation with our fascinating guest, Mike Oglesby.
One of the probably most difficult things that I've gone through in my life is estrangement. And it's for that very reason. You know, I remember it's been about 6.5 years now, and I stood up for myself and my family. I come from a family that, you know, pride was a big thing. And you, when you grow up with these things, you kind of gain some of those traits. So I had to really look at myself and be honest with myself and work those things out. Because, you know, the reality is, just like the tattoo on your arm, you get to choose. You get to choose what kind of man or woman or whatever it is that you call yourself, whatever that is. You get to choose who you are going to be in this world. And most people don't know that. Most people are told who they're going to be. I always say that, you know, we're not taught how to think. We're taught what to think. And so people walk around with this identity that was given to them, and they become just a reflection of the environment rather than a reflection of who they truly want to be in this world. You know, the passions and the things that drive them, they don't really give it too much thought because they're so busy trying to be what they're supposed to be based on everybody else. A lot of these things stem from the family units. And, you know, I come from a family where there was narcissism and, you know, a lot of, you know, I was bullied. I was the youngest of three boys. So, you know, naturally growing up, I was bullied and beat up and, you know, excluded and made fun of, embarrassed and things like that. And these are just, you know, we can look at this and we can say, well, this is typical child's play. But there's an effect that has on people. And so you grow up with those effects. And as you do that, you're invalidated, right? It's like, oh, well, get over it. Or, you know, you're being dramatic. You're too sensitive, things like that. And a culmination of all these things put together can really create a very difficult life for a person. And so about 6.5 years ago, I stood up and I wrote a letter and I called out the behaviors. And I put in boundaries. I got kicked out of my family for that. And so when you come from that, and so many people do come from that because people don't know how to love each other. We haven't been taught. You know, I think it's so important that we start to learn how to do that. And then when we're not taught, instead of, you know, raising arms and being resentful and being angry, instead of doing that, maybe you step into a new way of living, break that generational curse and start creating change moving forward. And I think that's something that we really, as a, not just a culture, but a society, but as a race of people. And I think it's starting to happen, you know, with technology and people really becoming more conscious of, you know, each other. And I mean, if you listen to a 15-year-old these days, they're going to be spitting out psychological terms that I didn't learn until I was in my 30s, even beyond, you know, my psychology training, you know. And so I think it's really starting to change. I mean, and there's good and there's bad into that, but I really think that we're starting to move toward, you know, a greater expression and a greater, you know, understanding of mental health. And people are starting to get that help and not be so afraid to reach out. So I do think that there's a lot of value in being able to break away from those people and those situations. Because if you're going to remain in a toxic situation, guess what? You're probably going to become toxic. It's just the way it works.
Well, I put it as simply when I tell people, plant flowers and pull weeds.
Oh, I love that. I always say, pull the weeds, plant the seeds.
Yes.
And that's another big thing, right? You know, we walk around and I kind of use that same analogy. And it's like, we have this life. You know, imagine your life as a garden and your garden is full of weeds. And you want a garden full of beautiful flowers. And so what most people do is they have this handful of seeds and they start spreading the seeds on this garden. And some of them will grow, but the problem is you got all these weeds sucking up all the nutrients and all the water. And so they don't have the nurturing and the food, the things that they need in order to grow to full fruition. And so I think it's really important and necessary that we start looking at not only what we want, but why we're here. And I don't mean we have to go back and talk about your childhood for 5 years. It's not like that. But, you know, what are we doing right now? What habits do we have? What patterns are we continuing to propel and express in our lives that hold us in the state that we're in? And I think that that merits a lot of attention.
Well, I run into people, particularly young ladies, that suffer from low self-esteem. And one of the exercises we do, Mike, perhaps you do something similar, rather than prepare a profile of what they have to offer, what we do is have them make a list of requirements that it takes to be with them. And what we do is we help them understand that that can clearly, more clearly define their values, their choices, and their non-negotiables. We talk about defining oneself, and usually what we tell people is, being a mama or a daddy or a brother or a sister or a friend, any of those things, doesn't define who you are. It's your values and your choices and your non-negotiables. How do you help people with that, Mike?
So with the low self-esteem, I mean, it's no wonder, you know, that women walk around with low self-esteem, especially younger women, you know, before they get into that power. Look at Hollywood. Like, I think Hollywood's great. I think, you know, music's great. But I also think that there's a side to these things that have created some really unrealistic expectations. And so for women, it's like, okay, you got to look a certain way. You got to be shaped a certain way. And you got to act a certain way. And that's unrealistic, right? Because it takes the humanity out of the human. I mean, we're trying to be something we're not. You know, it's life isn't about being perfect. Life is about the journey, and the journey is mistakes. It's about the flaws. It's about the whole thing. And so what we do is we create all these shadow parts because we're rejecting all these aspects of ourselves. And so we must step into a more realistic paradigm, I think, a new construct. And we have to redefine ourselves, because if we're working in a world that defines us as imperfect and imperfection is a negative or bad thing, then we must shift realities, in a sense, mental realities, and we must come to a new understanding of what, you know, imperfections are, what flaws are, and embrace them because they're beautiful. I often ask people this. They're like, well, you know, they got this, you know, perfectionism complex. And I'm like, well, just imagine if you were perfect, how would life really be? And in their mind, the first thought is, oh, it'd be great. No, it would suck. Right? I mean, think about it. Nobody would want to be friends with you because you would be so perfect that they couldn't measure up, and you would just do nothing but remind them of how imperfect they are. Nobody wants to be around that. That's like being around a know-it-all. And so nobody wants to be around that. People aren't going to love you. They're going to hate you. Look at the people that have done the most good on this earth. Just about every one of them were killed, slaughtered. That is not the way to become accepted. You know, acceptance doesn't come from outside. It's expressed outside of you. And I truly believe that the things that we hold within ourselves are going to express themselves outside of us. So if you want to change your life, you got to start from what's propelling your life, and that's the internal state. You know, and I've tested this for many, many years. I'll start, you know, shifting my life in a certain way, and I'll start to notice my environment starts to change and reflect that. And then I'll go to another, you know, different reality in my mind, working with a different paradigm, and reality outside of me begins to shift along with that. And it's really interesting, but I think I heard it like this: the personality is the personal reality. And we all live in our own personal reality. Now, there's billions of us, you know, sitting on this rock, and every one of us are experiencing it differently. And so it's no different when we talk about the self and the identity, how you think about yourself, what you believe about yourself, how you identify yourself. That's exactly how you're going to experience yourself. And furthermore, if you don't feel good about yourself and you think you're not a good person, then what do you expect other people to treat you like? You're teaching them how you want to be treated. You're showing them. So if you're not going to treat yourself well, then you can't really expect to be treated that well, because you're the one who sets those limits. You're the one who sets those boundaries. You're the one who says, I'm going to be treated this way. And I always say when it comes to setting boundaries, you know, we tend to take our boundaries and, you know, we negate our own responsibility to our boundaries. We say, you know, say you're in a toxic relationship and you say, oh, you're not going to treat me this way anymore. And then we give them that boundary and we expect them to respect that boundary. And if they don't respect that boundary, we get mad at them. But we continue to let them disrespect the boundary until we virtually have no boundary left. And I always say, if you set a boundary, you're not setting a boundary on someone else. You're setting a boundary for yourself. You're basically saying in that same scenario, hey, you're not going to treat me that way because I've put a boundary on myself that I'm not going to be treated that way. And if you start to treat me in a way that goes against that boundary, I'm going to step up and I'm going to hold the line. And it's as simple as saying, it's not someone else's job to respect your boundary. It's your job to make sure they do. And so the power comes back to the self, right? Because you have no power outside of yourself. So really going in, sitting down with the self and saying, yeah, this is the way I've treated myself. I haven't loved myself. I haven't liked myself. I haven't been good to myself because I haven't had boundaries. I haven't really thought about what's best for myself, but you know what? That changes today. And we don't want to work based on how we feel. We want to work based on what we want. We don't want to live our life on emotionally, you know, an emotionally driven place. We want to be mindful in what we do and how we pursue that. And so when you're working with somebody that has low self-esteem, we got to insert some boundaries and say, look, I'm not going to mistreat myself. And the thoughts are going to be there. We're going to have the intrusive thoughts, right? They're going to be like, oh, well, you know, you deserve to be punished and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, I'm just going to let those thoughts be there, but I'm not going to participate anymore because I've created a boundary to where I'm going to be better in this world. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to feel better immediately. And it's not dependent on how I feel. It's dependent on what I've chosen to do. And then it goes all the way back to choice, which is your greatest power. And if you choose that, and if you truly make that choice, your life will change. It'll have no choice but to change because your life is essentially a reflection of the choices that you're making, which is what's propelling what you're getting in the situation, the circumstances that you continue to get yourself in. So it really does all come back to the self. So to help someone with self-esteem, we got to put new boundaries. We got to make a decision. Who am I going to be and how am I going to treat myself? And that's choices. Very powerful.
Well, you keep coming back to choices, which why I'll be
always,
always choices, always choices. And we often talk about time as the absolute greatest asset that a human being can have. And we often do this exercise as time as currency. I do a time traveling exercise with people, but I want them to understand that the most beautiful thing about their life is they're born with nothing but time. And a beautiful part of life is choosing how to use that time. And I love the way you talked about expectations earlier, Mike. Could you talk about time as choice and expectations?
Sure. So, you know, time, the concept of time is just, you know, when it comes to your value, I mean, I think what I've seen, a lot of people struggle with their value because they base their value on what they do or what they produce or don't produce or do. And I think the reality, at least for me and the way that I believe, I don't actually believe in what we call personal value. I don't believe in the concept of working for your value. I think that value is something that just comes from your life source. I don't think it comes from what you do or what you don't do or your results in life. And if it did, you know, then, you know, we would look at and say, okay, well, value comes from what I do and what I produce and what I add to the world. Well, if we look at it from that perspective, well, what wouldn't have value? Babies wouldn't have value. Elderly people wouldn't have value once they're not able to work and contribute. Sick people wouldn't have value. When you go to sleep at night and you're not contributing anything to the world, you'd lose all your value. It just doesn't even make any sense, right? And when it comes to time, time is your greatest asset. You know, when you go to work and you earn money, that's an exchange of time, right? You're getting paid for your time. You're not getting paid for your work. You're getting paid for your time in which you're going to use certain skills. But, you know, time is your most valuable asset. You take a person who, let's say they have low self-esteem, and you say, okay, what if I gave you $10 billion? Would you take that? Oh, yeah, I'd take that in a second. Okay, but you only have 30 days to live. Oh, no, no. What, you're more valuable than $10 billion? Well, yeah, of course you are. You see, we've got all of these inputs, right, that are telling us what value is and where it comes from and that it's this and that it's that. And a lot of them are just based on lies. They're not real. They're not real. And so when we talk about expectations, it's important that we align our expectations with truth and we look at things from a truth-based standpoint. And the easiest way to look from a truth-based standpoint is to look from an objective place. As you said, not to think through the problems, but think outside of the problems, right? Like the one of the most effective ways to, you know, relieve a problem or to get rid of a problem is to get outside of the problem. That's why it's so much easier to help other people than it is yourself, because you're in the problem. And when you're helping someone else, you're not in their problem. You're not attached to it. You're not in their story. So if you can do that with yourself, and we can, that's one of the you know, primary things of cognitive behavioral thinking, is to get outside of that problem, you know, view it from a different perspective, because that's when you're going to be most effective in resolving that problem. And so, yes, you know, when it comes to setting realistic expectations, you know, we're just talking about being real, right? We're talking about being real, dealing with the truth, dealing with the facts, not your stories. You know, our stories are not even real. Most of the things we go through aren't even real, right? They're outside of what's actually happening. They're just a bunch of attachments, things that we make up. What if this happens in the future? Next thing you know, we have anxiety. Oh, I should have done this in the past, because if I'd have done this in the past, then I'd be better off. Really? Are you sure? You don't know that. You've never experienced that. You just made that up in your head. And now you're comparing the reality that you're living in to a fantasy that you created. We have to be realistic. You know, when it comes to change, that's a process. That's the reality of it. And if you think that you're going to step into a new habit without any kind of struggle, well, you're not being realistic. You're not looking at the way life is. Something that's always kind of been comical to me is, you know, when something, you know, life throws a monkey wrench in somebody's plans and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. This doesn't make any sense. Really? Hasn't this always happened? Isn't that just the way life is? We need to be realistic about life. Life is not always easy, and it's not supposed to be easy. Life runs in waves. One day you could be on top of the world, and the next day the world could be on top of you. That's life. And to not, you know, really step into that, you're setting yourself up for unnecessary pain and suffering. Let's be realistic about it. Let's look at what it is instead of what we think it should be, or you know, how it should have been, what could have been. Let's deal with what is. And that way we can actually deal with reality. We can deal with truth. We don't have to create these unrealistic expectations that end up causing us more pain than necessary. And we can get better, and we can live better, and we can be happier and more, you know, step more into our potential. Let's be real about life. Let's just, it really comes down to the truth, doesn't it?
Well, what I help people understand is life is neither fair nor unfair. It's how you react Absolutely. To situations. It's how you react. Yeah. Generally, what I tell people, and I said when we start, I say, here's some facts that I'd like you to grasp. Number one, you're a spiritual being. Number two, you're having a human experience, and your enmeshment in this human experience is why you're sitting here with me. And I said, then life is absurd. And once you grasp those three concepts, our work will be done. We're going to continue our conversation with Mike Oglesby next week. However, in the meantime, what we'd like you to do is get a better understanding of Mike, a better conceptualization of what he does at mikeoglesby.com. At the end of every podcast, we offer a free prescription, fruits, nuts, and vegetables. Unplug your television and take up fishing. And for a truly mindful experience, we suggest that you fish without bait, a lifetime without definitive expectations. Do a kindness for yourself and do a kindness for another. Forgive yourself and forgive another. Till all are free, none are free. Namaste.
If you're interested in flying the colors of fishing without bait, click the shop icon on our website. We have clothing, mugs, cell phone cases, and so much more. Show the world that you fish without bait. This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.